Buenos dias from San Gervasi. This is the Rorschach Spain update from the 26th of June, 2025. Quick summary of what's going down in Spain. I'm sure you noticed we had no show last week due to an extreme and tragic technical cataclysm. You're back on track now, a bit late. Apologies all around. We will cover both weeks in this show. First up, on Sunday the 22nd, Spain secured an exemption from NATO's new defense spending target of 5% of its GDP. Despite growing international pressure, particularly from U.S. President Donald Trump, President Pedro Sanchez confirmed Spain would maintain its defense budget at 2.1% of GDP. Agreement with NATO allows Spain to avoid aligning with the significantly higher target which Trump had urged allies to meet. Sanchez noted that the exemption was put in place so that Spain could prioritize its domestic fiscal policy, that is, focus on spending the money elsewhere. The exemption comes amid wider debates over military expenditures within NATO and tensions with Russia. Next up, on Monday the 23rd, José Manuel Álvarez, Spain's foreign minister, announced that he would request the EU Council to immediately suspend the EU-Israel Association Agreement, citing human rights violations in Gaza. The agreement is a treaty that strengthens trade and political ties, giving Israel preferential access to EU markets. Álvarez also said he plans to push for an arms embargo on Israel and sanctions on individuals obstructing an end to its war in Gaza and a possible two-state solution. In response, Italian Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani said that they strongly opposed Spain's decision while emphasizing that Rome supports maintaining dialogue with Israel and believes suspending the agreement would be counterproductive. Now, an update from a previous show story, the Colgo case. On Monday the 23rd, José Luis Ábalos, the former PSOE Spanish minister, denied any involvement in the public corruption scheme during a Supreme Court hearing. For context, the Colgo case involves officials illegally using public money to purchase masks during the COVID-19 pandemic. The case has undermined trust in Spain and the ruling party and has jeopardized the careers of key government figures. For his part, Ábalos said that he didn't recognize himself in any of the incriminating audio recordings, which were allegedly made by his former advisor, Koldo Garcia. And they allegedly linked Ábalos, former PSOE party official Santos Cerdán, to contract rigging and influence peddling. Ábalos' denial challenges key evidence, complicates the investigation, and could potentially weaken the prosecution's overall case. Wait to see what President Sanchez has to say when he faces the court on Monday the 30th. With the Socialist Party in the midst of corruption allegations, it's no surprise that a recent report by news outlet Reuters has put politics as the main source of disinformation. Reuters Institute's digital news report, released on Tuesday the 17th, revealed that just over 50% of Spaniards see national politicians as the main source of disinformation, 10 percentage points above the global average and on par with the United States. As well as distrusting politicians, 48% of respondents said that they viewed influencers as a threat to truthful information. Though this concern is more common among older people, 57% of people over 65 versus 30% of young adults aged between 18 and 24. The report showed that news fatigue is rising, with 40% globally avoiding news due to emotional stress or information overload. Meanwhile, Spain announced it would ease visa rules to attract foreign students barred from the U.S. due to recent restrictions imposed by the Trump administration. The Spanish Migration Ministry announced the new policy will enable affected students to transfer to Spanish universities and grant them part-time work visas. This move follows escalating harassment of top U.S. universities by the ruling Trump regime under the pretext of anti-Semitism. U.S. has responded by freezing research funding for institutions like Harvard and threatening their tax-exempt status. Spain and other European countries have now started to boost research grants to lure displaced academic talent. Shifting gears to energy, on Monday the 16th, the Spanish government awarded 1.22 billion euros to 7 green hydrogen projects, or hydrogen valleys, across Aragon and Catalonia in the northeast, Andalusia in the south, Castilla y León in the central region, and Galicia in the northwest, all via the National Hydrogen Valleys Program. New initiative aims to encourage the integration of production, storage, distribution, and consumption within each region, pushing Spain's capacity to produce green hydrogen to an all-time high. On a related note, on Monday the 23rd, the government announced it's preparing to approve a royal decree aimed at boosting renewable energy sector while addressing vulnerabilities exposed by the recent national blackout. Draft law proposes measures to encourage energy storage, extend deadlines for solar and wind projects, simplify bureaucratic procedures, and allow better control of renewable output. The new decree would also promote electrification by facilitating electric vehicle charging infrastructure and heat pump installation. Nearly 2 months on from the electrical blackout that left Spain and Portugal in darkness, on Tuesday the 17th, the central government presented a report placing blame on its partly state-owned grid operator, Red Eléctrica, for miscalculating power needs and failing to activate backup thermal plants. Recall that on the 28th of April, a major power blackout hit the Iberian Peninsula, disconnecting Spain from the European electricity grid for several hours. The outage disrupted transport, closed schools and businesses, stranded people across urban and rural areas. The delayed explanation has triggered political backlash, with predictably opposition leader Alberto Núñez Feijóo blaming the government's push for renewables and its rejection of nuclear energy. However, officials maintain that the outage was unrelated to Spain's renewable energy policies. Sunday the 15th, anti-tourism protests took place across Spain, Italy, and Portugal as locals demanded limits on mass tourism, highlighting rising frustration over tourism's impact on housing, cost of living, and local culture. Barcelona protesters took to using the now symbolic water pistols to target tourists. Campaigners argue that short-term rentals like Airbnb are pushing residents out of their homes in overcrowding cities. A growing housing crisis and low wages in tourism-related jobs have intensified resentment. Now, we've heard a lot in recent weeks about tourism in Spain, but are Spanish people jet-setting for their summer vacations? Well, yes. According to the National Outbound Tourism Observatory, despite international uncertainties, travel enthusiasm remains high, especially among younger people, with just over 50% of those under 35 opting for foreign trips rather than domestic travel. Popular international destinations include the Caribbean, Japan, emerging spots like Egypt and Thailand, influenced by social media trends. Meanwhile, travel to the U.S. is declining due to political uncertainty and arbitrary and punitive border procedures at U.S. borders. On Tuesday the 24th, Spain's government announced that it would delay the full merger between BBVA and Sabadell for 3 years, complicating BBVA's takeover bid. Hallelujah. While the takeover has gone ahead to be fully merged, Economy Minister Carlos Cuerpo said that both banks must follow certain conditions by operating independently over the next 3 years, maintaining separate assets, management, and operations. The government imposed these conditions to protect public interest, including support for small businesses. BBVA initially launched its bid to take over Sabadell in May 2024, receiving approval from both the European Central Bank and Spain's competition regulator. How Spain's competition regulator could have approved this clearly monopolistic move is not clear to anybody. From banking to cybersecurity, on Tuesday the 24th, the central government invested in Quantix Edges, a private tech firm to establish a cybersecurity and microelectronics hub in Murcia in southern Spain. The initiative has an initial budget of 40 million euros from government spending. It aims to advance quantum technologies, secure data chips, and digital identity systems. The project has also received close to 20 million euros from the Ministry of Digital Transformation, bringing total funding to around 60 million euros. Quantix represents a strategic effort to strengthen Spain's cybersecurity capabilities and reduce dependence on foreign technology. Late last week, Teresa Ribera, the EU's climate chief, fought hard to save a law targeting corporate greenwashing, pushing back against internal opposition within the European Commission. Greenwashing occurs when companies falsely promote products or practices as environmentally friendly to mislead consumers and boost their eco-image. Even though Ribera's efforts didn't go unnoticed, they came too late. Over the weekend, Italy blocked the deal, forcing EU countries to retreat from negotiations and leaving the law in limbo. Ribera expressed her frustration on social media, calling for respect for consumers through honest environmental labeling. The law's collapse follows mounting pressure from the center-right European People's Party, of course, which opposes almost all green regulations, alleging that they overburden business. Speaking of greenwashing, Spain is set to become the first to ban gasoline or petrol as well as diesel advertising. Pablo Bustinduy, Spain's consumer affairs minister, announced the proposed legislation which will prohibit ads for fossil fuel-only products unless they include a renewable component such as biofuel. Companies will also be required to justify vague allegations like environmentally friendly or climate friendly with verifiable and certified data. The initiative aligns with a global push backed by the UN to regulate fossil fuel advertising, similar to past restrictions on tobacco marketing, putting public health ahead of corporate interests. In environmental news, on Monday the 16th, Jose Antonio Montalban from Mallorca won the largest prize ever awarded on the Spanish TV game show Cifras y Letras, a program about questions and answers on channel La Dos, taking home just over 250,000 euros. To win the jackpot, he had to complete one final challenge, find 12 words related to the theme Más vale mañana, or skill is worth more than strength, all within 3 minutes. Try it yourself. Tougher than it sounds. 2025 may not have been Spain's year for Eurovision, but for budding contenders, 2026 already in the works. On Friday the 20th, RTVE, Spain's national broadcaster, opened the song submission window for Benidorm Fest 2026, the country's national selection for Eurovision. About 20 original songs will qualify for the live shows, with around six more placed on a reserve list. The winning act from Benidorm Fest will receive 150,000 euros from RTVE, but if you're thinking of applying, know that artists and composers can only submit entries until the 24th of September. PB to Books, Spain's publishing sector has fully recovered from the 2008 financial crisis, reaching a turnover of 3 billion euros in 2024, matching pre-crisis level. This marks an 11-year period of steady growth with a 39% increase since 2014, based on information from the Federación de Gremios de Editores de España. In 2024, almost 195 million books were sold, an almost 6% increase from 2023. Digital formats also grew, with ebooks just over 8%, and audiobook sales skyrocketing by 40%. Sector produced over 85,000 titles, with a notable increase in children's and young adult books. This resurgence has been dubbed the Spanish phenomenon by publishers and the media, reflecting strong demand and expanding international markets. Close this edition. If you thought the Benidorm Fest was a big opportunity, this next story is even bigger. Boadilla Association of Devotees of the Heart of Jesus, a Catholic association in Madrid, is planning to build the world's largest statue of Jesus Christ by 2030 in the west of the city near Boadilla del Monte. The statue, called the Sacred Heart, will stand at 37 meters, 121 feet tall, and 60 meters, or 190 feet, arm span, surpassing Rio de Janeiro's Christ the Redeemer at 30 meters, or 98 feet, and the Encandado Cristo Protector at 36, or 118 feet, both in Brazil. Estimate is the project will cost around 17 million euros, will be funded mostly through donations. Once it's finished, the statue will house a chapel with a mechanical heart that lowers daily for worship and glows at night. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. Want to join the team as an Ocean Update writer? Reach out to info@rorschach.com with Ocean Writer position in the subject line and a short note on why you'd be excited to be a part of the team. Don't miss full job description. It's in the show notes. Hasta la próxima.